Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
And I know that I know that I know that that was the Holy Spirit wanting to speak through her. And so don't ever give up. Okay? That's my philosophy. Even though I've given up hundreds of times, I usually quit moping around and get back up again, because God, you know what God says to me? He says, you don't have to stay there, Ernie. And I thought, oh, Lord. But I'm feeling good, feeling sorry for myself. And he'll get me turned around. And you can forget. You can actually forget all that stuff and leave it behind you. And we're going on. We're going on to meet the King. And you get to do it with me together. I don't know where I'll be, but I'll be with you. And so I'm so thankful for all your kindness to me and my wife. And I want to thank you, Lord, for showing your love through these people and for reaching out to us when we really were in need of it and building us up in the most holy faith. And we thank you for that. We thank you for this day together. I just pray we could just forget about ourselves and concentrate on you and worship you together and be of one heart and one mind and one voice together. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." You know, faith is exactly that, right? What you can't see. It doesn't matter. There's been a theme this morning in just even talking and with things going on in my own life, everything that's just, you know, just conversations. And the thing is we have the option to look at things as good or bad in our lives. But what we have to realize is that the word literally tells us that everything he does is good. See, it's the human nature that turns things into bad situations, right? Like, I'm choosing to look at this moment of a hard time in my life as a bad thing because I don't like it, right? But see, as we begin to operate in the kingdom, just like this scripture talks about, we begin to realize that it doesn't matter what it is. That if we learn to look at it as good, God, you're doing good even in this moment. Even when I'm standing in this moment unsure of what's happening, I know that your word tells me it works together for good every single time. There's not a time that it's gonna work out for bad. See, it's our choice to say that things are bad. I can feel this because this song's been working with me all week long. And that's the thing, is that God, he does good things in our lives. He does. But sometimes those good things are also teaching us what he needs to teach us for what we're coming up to. See, that's the thing. It's why the Bible talks about a refining in the fire. It's why he talks about all of these different things throughout the word. It's not because you'll never have opposition in your life. It's not because by becoming a Christian, all things turn roses and daisies and nothing hard ever happens. No, see, things are gonna come up in your life, but you gotta know that it's for good. That it is working and it is moving and it is doing things in your life that you may not even be aware of because it's not here yet. See, that's the thing. God is the God of tomorrow, right? He knows what's ahead for us. He knows what's on the way. He knows the thing that we can't even see yet. And that's what's amazing about him, is that what you're in today can be molding you and making you and getting you ready for what you're coming at tomorrow. See, it's all good. And just standing on faith in moments where you're not sure, that's the thing, is it is good. See, it being well with us, see, that's the understanding that it is good. That God is doing good things, even if we feel like we're low. See, that's the thing, is that Job always kept pressing, knowing that regardless of what he was seeing, that God had him. See, it's a difficult thing, but it doesn't mean it's not making you, building you, moving things in your life, improving things, making, that's the thing. It's just like the Bible tells us, it's a precept upon precept, right? Things come in our lives not to knock us down, but to make us, to build us up, to give us more of what he's doing in our lives, more of what he's, that's the thing. That's the amazing thing about a living word of God. We're not in the religion business. No, we're here for a relationship with a living God who is constantly moving in our lives and doing things and showing us things if we will look to him and allow him to do it in our lives. Don't put limitations on the God who created everything. See, that's the thing. When we say, oh, no, this is not by you, God, because it's not good, you're saying that the one who created it all has no control over what's happening. And he does. He never loses control of what's going on. And he's always got a plan. He always knows where he's taking us. He always knows how he's building us. He always knows how he's giving us more. See, that's the thing. It's a pouring. It really is. Filling the cup, overflowing it. It's never stopping. It's a constant. He's wanting to pour into us and give us more and give us more and give us more. So I just want to read this again, because this is his word. Truth, right? What we stand on. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain. And I love, because even in here, in my Bible, it does the same thing, but it's like italicized, because it's good testimony. See, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. See, that's the thing. By faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So don't look at what you're seeing around you, because he's doing good things regardless of what's happening here. See, this is something I 100% believe that he's going to really be pressing with the church, because we're in the middle of election season. You don't gotta worry. Can I tell you? I'm not saying, no, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't go vote, don't do those. Yes. But whatever the outcome is, see, he's trying to teach us that what we see is not what's happening in the kingdom. See, we gotta learn to walk according to the kingdom, to believe in the things that we can't see, the things that are still coming, the things that are still happening. Because see, even if the outcome is not what you want, his hand's still on it. See, that's the thing. He never lets it go. And as a church, that's what we got to understand, is that regardless of whether it's what we consider good or bad, that his hand is on it. And that the elders obtained a good testimony. See, that's the thing. You trust in God, you go after him, and you believe for the good testimony that is coming your way, because it is. See, because it's all working together for good. Woo! Church, I'm so excited because I can feel it. Like, it's a good thing in our lives. Don't look at just what's happening and count it done. No, look at what's to come. Look forward at what he's telling you. Go after the word. Go after what he's giving you. Press in and let him continue to move, because he's doing things that are mighty and that are great. Can I have everybody stand up? And I just want to, if you can give me 1 second, Renee, I want to go back into this. And whatever you got, know that it's his. Just lay it down. Amen. Give it to him this morning. Worship, enjoy. I loved, just like Ernie said, we have the choice to moan about things and be upset, or we have the choice to thank him for what we got, right? And this morning, let's just choose that. Let's be thankful for what God is doing, what he's gonna do, what he's gonna continue to do, what he's doing in the midst of every situation. We're just gonna thank him for it, because we know it's good. We know that good is coming. We're gonna come in. Let's start at verse.
Hello, y'all.
Hello.
Well, first of all, I want to say that Wednesday marked a year for me being in Green Valley.
Yeah.
4 weeks later, I stepped through those doors and have not looked back. This body of believers is amazing. Now, on a serious note, we've been praying for my sister that has lung cancer. She had been about convinced herself not to do anything and just live with it for the rest of her life. And so I had done a lot of talking to her. We were baptized together when we were young. And but she wasn't a strong Christian. So me being able to talk with her and share with her, she's back on the right track. So we talked for several hours. And then a nurse called her, and she wanted to go over all the procedure, every little nook and cranny of what was going to happen and what she should expect and this and that. And after that, she felt very confident to go ahead with the chemo. So later, she's an apartment manager. She had to do a showing of an apartment. Well, my younger sister called. She also has health issues. So, of course, she wanted to take the call and excused herself. The lady overheard her talking about chemo, that she had decided to start chemo. And that lady just walked up to her and grabbed her by the hand and said, God just gave me a message to tell you that he is with you. He will be by your side this whole time. Don't be afraid, and everything's going to work out. She had never experienced anything like that before, ever. And she said she started like floating on air. I said, that's the Holy Spirit, sister. I said, you just keep doing what you're doing and you stay in the word and everything's going to be okay.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes.
Come on, Mom. So, first of all, I just want to say, I've never been here before. We are from the great state of Texas. And we're only here for 2 days. And we decided spontaneously, let's just go to a random church. And we weren't expecting to come up here. But after, I'm sorry, I don't know the lady's name, but the last lady who spoke, talking about, I believe, your sister. I kind of got the confirmation that we should share
our testimony, and I don't want to take up too much of y'all's time, so I wasn't a Christian. I didn't grow up a Christian, and this is my mom, Catherine, you know, I for a long time, I wanted nothing to do with the Lord. I wanted nothing to do with Christianity. I was actually on the opposite side of Christianity. I was actually a practicing witch for a long time. It's what I grew up around from a family member. And not her. I'm not going to throw her into the bus. And I struggled severely with depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts. And I was so tormented. I had insomnia. I was a mess. And honestly, I look around at my generation, and I mean, there's so many people that are struggling with that today. You know, there's so much darkness around. And so one day, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And I realized that what I was previously doing, how I was previously living my life, wasn't working. Because my life was chaos. Everything with chaos was chaos, and I was too stubborn because I had Christian friends, but I didn't want to turn to Christianity because my mindset was, why would I base my life off of a book? That was my previous mindset. And when my mom was diagnosed with cancer, I literally just fell on my face before the Lord because I couldn't go on and lose my mother because she's my best friend. And she had previously been fighting a severe stomach disease that almost killed her. And she almost bled to death from it. And it just felt like on my whole family, it felt like there was a curse on my family. So I fell on my face before the Lord. And I had never previously talked to Jesus. But I said, Jesus, if you heal my mom, I'll dedicate the rest of my life to you. And y'all, I'm gonna say y'all because I'm from Texas.
I will not be saying y'all.
She's from England. My mom not only was healed from the cancer, but for the first time in 4 years, her stomach disease had completely disappeared. And I was delivered from depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, hallelujah, torment, witchcraft, homosexuality. Hallelujah. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow. And I'm going to say something. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't be mistaken. There's an enemy that's after our lives, after our families, after our kids. But Jesus has come to bring life and life abundantly. And Jesus said, I've come to set the captives free. And he's given us power over all works of the enemy. So I'm saying you stand on the word of God. You believe for your family members because my mom got saved. My father got saved. My brother got saved. My grandmother got saved. I was the first in my family to follow Jesus. He is the God of the impossible, just like that song was saying. Stand on the word of God. Do not give up. And he doesn't just want 99% of you. He wants 100% of you. He wants us to sell out to him. And guys, he's worthy. Because it doesn't matter what we fill our lives with. It's not sufficient. Jesus is the only way. Amen. He's the only one that can deliver, that can heal. He can restore families. He brings prodigal sons home.
Yeah. All right. She's the preacher. I am not. So yeah, true story. So I spent about 4 years with a stomach disease that almost killed me. And we moved to Abilene, and man, then I got diagnosed with cancer, and I was like, man, I just can't take anymore, you know. And I was not into the alternative stuff that she was into, but I didn't have Jesus in my life at the time. And boy, when she said that she was willing to dedicate the rest of her life to Jesus, she was not kidding, as you can tell. Like, She honestly, I know she's my daughter, but she is anointed and she is very, very special. And I know we're supposed to say that about our kids, but I mean it. She's now going to Howard Payne University studying the Bible. And we just purchased a little white church in town, which who would have thought? And we just started a new youth ministry where we're at. Four-ish years ago, this little girl right here, I couldn't take her into a restaurant without her sitting there doing this. She would sit at the table doing this, and then she would get up and she would go into the bathroom. And she would sit there crying for 45 minutes while we ate dinner. And I would have to go in and comfort her and go back and sit. I couldn't take her out of the house sometimes. And it was an overnight transition. So she is, I mean, we both are living, breathing proof that Jesus exists and he will do amazing things in your life. And there are times in your life that you just feel desperate and down and you feel like you just don't know where to turn. But I promise you, if you just look at him and you just ask him to lift you up, he is always standing beside you. He just needs you to acknowledge it. You know, he just wants you to say, Jesus, I know you're with me. And I know you're going to do amazing things in my life. And I just have every faith that you're going to do it, Lord. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for having us here today. This was an amazing experience. It was off the cuff. We decided to just come here and we're just so blessed. And thank you so much. This has been so beautiful. So praise Jesus.
Could I pray over you guys? Could I pray over y'all? This is an amazing church, an amazing congregation. We were shocked that you guys allow just anyone to walk in here and grab the mic. I mean, that takes a lot of trust in the Lord. There's a lot of crazy people out there. But I want to pray over you guys because Jesus does deliver. He does heal. He does bring kids home. Kids that don't believe in the Lord, grandkids that don't believe the Lord. He can work. He delivers. He's the God of the impossible. He's given us authority over all works of the enemy. So, Father God, I pray, Lord, right now for everyone in this congregation. And, Lord, right now, I rebuke the plans of the enemy off of their lives. And I thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Jesus, that there's power in the blood of Jesus, that you've come to set the captives free. And Lord, right now I pray for deliverance from depression, from anxiety. And I say no to that spirit of infirmity, that cancer. Get off of our lives, get off of our families in the name of Jesus. Right now we are standing on faith. We're standing on the word of God that says that we will not die, but we will live and we will proclaim the wonderful works of God. And right now, we proclaim that over our families. The prodigal sons, the prodigal daughters. Maybe there's some in this room. We're calling out to them in the name of Jesus, and we're saying, come home. That we will no longer doubt the word of God works. Because the word of God works. And we proclaim it right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we claim your promises over our lives. Lord, we thank you that you've blessed us to be a blessing to others. Lord, I take authority over that spirit, over every demonic spirit in this room, and I say, leave in the name of Jesus. You do not belong here. And Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every single person in this room. And I pray, Lord, right now for those that don't know you, that they'll be bold enough and smart enough that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that the truth will set us free. I pray, Lord Jesus, that if there's anyone in this room who's doubted you, who's doubted your existence, I pray, Lord, right now you'll give them boldness to accept you into their hearts, to proclaim you. Lord, I thank you that you made salvation easy, that it's not a works-based faith, but you said if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died for our sins and rose from the grave, that his Holy Spirit can live inside of us, that we will be saved. Lord, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for these people. Amen.
Thank you. You are seeing a generation. Lord woke me up early this morning, and I was praying, and I text Pastor John kind of early. I wasn't sure if he was awake. But the Lord was saying something. You're going to see something today, folks. It's a generation. It is a generation that's called to take dominion in the earth. Can you say amen to that? This is what this young lady, this is what the younger children, this is what God is saying in the earth. I will have my way. He's going to have his way, folks. Hallelujah. We might as well get in the way. Amen? Come on, get into his way. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. We better let Pastor John take the service. Come on, Pastor. Amen? Hallelujah. Woo, come on. There's a spirit of God in here. Praise God.
Am I on?
You're on.
Thank you, worship team. Don't they do well up here? Well, you guys have already had church, so let's go home. I'll tell you what, listening to that song that we sang, that he's not done with us yet. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
Aren't you glad, you know, this young lady could have thought that was it for her, not knowing that there was a Savior out there. You look at all the kids, as Pastor Henry brought up, that right now may be going through the exact same things that this young lady went through.
Thank you.
God's not done with you yet.
That's it.
If you're feeling guilty about something, that you're someplace that you shouldn't be, God's not done with you yet. You know that he meets us just where we are. But he doesn't leave us there. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
You know, once upon a time, for all of us, we were in a place that wasn't the best place to be. And he met us there, and he took us out of that place. So I know we've been praying a lot, but I want to pray one more time before I start my message. Father God, I thank you for what you're doing this morning. Lord, just as we allow, Lord, for people to speak here, and just as this young lady said, there's a lot of crazy people out there, but we trust in you that the words that come forth from this pulpit, Lord, from this microphone, is only because they were ordained by you.
Thank you.
So, Lord, as I bring my message this morning, Lord, I pray that it's from your heart, through my mouth, and through the hearts of all these people that are sitting here today, Lord, that they would hear what you have to say this morning. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you in the name of Jesus. Today I brought two Bibles, so you guys are going to be here a couple hours. just one of the things that I like to do. I know we've been really in a very serious mode, which is good. But one of the things I like to kind of do is bring a little laughter into when I speak. And, you know, the Bible says that laughter is good for the heart, right?
Amen.
So if you got problems with your heart, I got a couple of jokes for you. Let's see if they're even funny for you. Okay, you guys ever look at these the back of the car, those bumper stickers? Ever kind of watch what they do? And you've always seen the one that says, "If you love Jesus, honk."
Yeah.
Well, that's a pretty normal one, and you might do your horn there. But there was one that right below it. It said, "If you want to meet him, text." I thought that was one of the funniest things that I saw. If you love Jesus, honk, but if you want to meet him, text. You got to be so aware of that kind of stuff, right? And the other one that I have is, the dad is talking to his little 5-year-old daughter, and he's saying, well, you know, we're going to church today, but when we're there, he says, I need you to be quiet. I need you to kind of, you know, settle down. He says, and just be quiet. Okay, Daddy. She goes, okay. Do you know why I'm asking you to do that? Yes, Daddy, because everybody's sleeping. So I hope that my message today doesn't put you to sleep. Okay, off we go. And for those of you that don't know me, my name is John. And it's Johnny. So, you probably noticed what's up on that screen. That's what my sermon's about. We're just going to talk about stuff. You know, it's kind of a word that that seems to kind of be all kinds of different things that get put into a basket. Just a lot of stuff, right? The things that go on in our life, the things we do. Someone might ask you, you know, hey, you're not doing well. You don't look like you're doing well. Yeah, I'm just going through some stuff, you know. And so this is kind of where my message is on today is that, so I'm going to ask you guys, who around here has too much stuff around your house? I should have asked who doesn't, right? We all got stuff. Stuff that may have not been used in years. And the one that came to my eyes was coffee cups. Coffee cups, right? We have, in my house, there's my wife, a shelf full of coffee cups. But it seems like most of the time, we only use about maybe 6 of our favorite ones. Wash them, we put them back on, and those are the ones we use. But we got a bunch of coffee cups, right? How about out in your shed? What do we got out in our sheds, right? Go out there and there's stuff that we keep just in case one day I may need that. And it stays there. And it stays there, right? And then one day you're looking for something specific and you run across something that you forgot you even had. Don't even remember what it was for, but there it is. So, it's easy to stash the stuff we accumulate in our lives. We place it somewhere, out of sight, to deal with later. Sometimes not even seeing when it's in front of our eyes. We don't see those things that are right there. We've gotten so accustomed to the way things look. And I heard once that sometimes you can tell the condition of your heart by your environment. What is your life like? You know, if there's chaos all around you and stuff all around you, very possible that's what's going on inside of your heart, inside of your mind. And so we accept things just as they are. We act and we behave in ways that we know we shouldn't. We know that there's things that we do that we should not be doing. And we even tell ourselves, well, that's just the way I am. How many times do we kind of justify? That's just who we are. That's just me. If you say something that might be more bold than it should be, or if you act in a certain way, that's just the way I am. And maybe God's telling you, that's not the way I am. Okay? And so sometimes who we are isn't who God created us to be. And so I hope that as we progress here, that you see some of the issues that we may face as we're walking through our journey to become that perfect image of God. So I'm going to start off with Romans 7, starting with 14 through 25. And surprisingly, I'm going to use the Passion Bible. Okay. Everybody always jokes with me because I'm always using the NIV, but this one here I thought was kind of belonged in a little different place. So it's starting with verse 14. And it says, "For we know that the law is divinely inspired and comes from the spiritual realm. But I am a human being made of flesh and trafficked as a slave under sin's authority. I'm a mystery to myself, for what I want to do, when I want to do what is right, end up doing what my moral instincts condemn. And if my behavior is not in line with my desire, my conscience still confirms the excellence of the law. And now I realize that it is no longer my true self doing it, but the unwelcome intruder of sin in my humanity. For I know that nothing good lives within the flesh of my fallen humanity. The longings to do what is right are within me, but the willpower is not enough to accomplish it. My lofty desires to do what is good are dashed when I do things I want to avoid. So, if my behavior contradicts my desires to do good, I must conclude that it's not my true identity doing it, but the unwelcome intruder of sin hindering me from being who I am. And though my experience of this principle, I discover that even when I want to do good, evil is ready to sabotage me. Truly, deep within my true identity, I love to do what pleases God, but I discern under another power operating in my humanity, waging a war against the moral principles of my conscience and bringing me into captivity as a prisoner to the law of sin. This unwelcome intruder in my humanity, what an agonizing situation I am. So who has the power to rescue this miserable man from the unwelcome intruder of sin and death? I give all my thanks to God, for his mighty power has finally provided a way out of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. So if left to myself, the flesh is aligned with the law of sin. But now my renewed mind is fixed and submitted to God's righteous principles." A lot there, and I think we can all identify with what Paul's writing about, what Paul's telling us. It's struggles that, you know, here Paul is the guy that wrote most of the New Testament, and yet he's telling us about the things that he struggled with, things that even as he was walking his walk, he was still struggling with those things. So, struggles that he faced, and now we also do. We're unable to overcome sin under our own strength and under our own human power. And when we sin, we can come up with so many excuses, and we justify what we do. And that's one of the things I mentioned a little bit earlier, that's just who I am. That's just how I behave. That's just what I do. And that doesn't cover it. We've heard that statement said that it's better to ask for forgiveness afterwards than permission before. I think we've heard that before. And sometimes we want to go do things, and then we come to God and say, "Oh, Lord, forgive me." But instead of coming before him and allowing him to guide you in things that are right and things that are wrong. This statement doesn't fit in our kingdom, not in our kingdom walk with God, because we're still responsible for the actions and possible consequences. You know that a lot of the things we do, we wind up paying for in the long run because we weren't listening to what God had for us. We weren't walking in the pathway that He'd set out for us. And then we go into facing the certain consequences, and then we wind up blaming God. God, why did you do that to me? You know, and it wasn't God. We did it to ourselves. So only through the power of the Holy Spirit can we achieve victory. Jesus Christ, who has conquered sin once and for all, promises to fight by our side. It's kind of like that song we were singing a little earlier. He's there. He's for us. He's not against us. And sometimes we tend to think because he's asking for some hard things to change in our life, we're thinking that he's not happy with us, or he's not wanting us to go forward. And whatever happens, whether things sometimes don't look like that's where what should be going within us, it seems to me that sometimes when things are going great, we're all praising God and worshiping and how wonderful He is. When something doesn't quite fit our view of the way it should be, now it's on the other side of things. Lord God, why did you do that? Instead of acknowledging that we have to trust Him when things are good and when things are not so good. Amen. Because He's the same, as the lady said, He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. The love that He had for each one of us before we ever even wanted to come to Him, today He doesn't love us any more than He did back then. We seem to think, well, I'm doing this and I'm going to church and I'm doing this. He loved you as much back when you weren't even paying attention to Him as He does this day. And that's how you wind up finally realizing how wonderful He is, and how could you not just embrace Him? Jesus Christ, who has conquered sin once and for all, promises to fight by your side. And when we fall, He lovingly reaches out to help us and continues to walk with us. Regardless of what happens, regardless of where you find yourself, when you fall, and I would have to say that most of us fall, but we might even think we stumble. That might be a better word for it. Maybe we stumble. But regardless of how far down we went or where we're at today, His hand is there to pick us up. He's not going to leave us where we are. And so that's good news. A few weeks ago, I went through a cleaning spree. Throughout time, so much stuff, mostly junk, had accumulated on my property. And as I said earlier, it's easy to stash things out of sight, especially when you got some land that you can place it in. But I knew it was there, and it just kept piling. But as I got rid of the larger piles, you know, those things that really stood out for me, that's where I began. The other smaller ones began to look almost as big as the ones I just cleaned up. And so it took a while. But what a feeling when finally all that junk was gone, when it was clean, when I could go out and not be looking at things that I'd seen for years. And now, after those things got gone, it even takes me now, I got to start looking some of those bins, some of that stuff that I put off somewhere in the back of my shed or somewhere out there. So God speaks to us in many different ways. And this experience is really what led me to today's message. We all have stuff that we need to get rid of. Areas in our life that need change. So this message isn't about cleaning your cupboards and throwing away your cups, or going out on your yard and start raking all the stuff that lies around. Even though that's what I saw, you know, there were things that I needed to look at. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way as he continuously gets rid of stuff that clutters his dwelling place. That's you and me. You know that the more things that we keep carrying with us, the more things that we accept, we're cluttering his dwelling. Holy Spirit lives within us, and he wants to have us clean. He wants to have that that spotless bride. My family embraced Christianity before I was a teenager. And during that time, it's kind of like I had to go to church. It was one of these things where, right, like if your family goes, you go. But as I grew older and later my later teen years, I drew away. I pulled away from what my family was doing. The big part was that I was kind of afraid of what Jesus would want me to give up. There was too much stuff that I was doing that I was enjoying, even if it wasn't the right thing to do in his eyes. But I knew about him. I would talk to him. But I wasn't ready to really give my life to him. I remember going out drinking, and before I left, I would sit in my car and I would pray. It was really weird, but my prayer was, Lord, I'm going out tonight. So if somehow I don't come back tonight, I'll see you in heaven. You know, that was kind of my life. You know, I didn't know if I was going to come home. I was just going to go party. And so you start doing things that you know are wrong, but at that time you're ignorant to those things that you really should be paying attention to. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of us have gone through that. It's just you're afraid of what you have to give up because you think you have so much. Well, that day came that I did give my life to Christ. And to my surprise, he didn't make me give up anything. Didn't make me give up a thing. He doesn't make us do anything. You know that he gives us a choice? And so to make us give anything, you do it freely. Once I started to know him, I freely came to him. And he accepted me just where I was. And he just started speaking to me. So I gave my life to Christ. Zap! That bad acting guy is gone. The new guy is now here. Pure thoughts. Holy living, godly actions. Not. It didn't quite work out that way. But it is then that the Holy Spirit began his work. I was drawn to want to be with him. I had to cooperate with what I saw that he was doing in my life. And as I spent time with him, praying, listening, reading his word, I began to know who he truly was. So I saw my desires change. Those things that I couldn't live without didn't matter anymore. They became less and less important. And I was, and I still am, on a lifelong journey being transformed to the image of Christ. So I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5:17 now. you all know this scripture. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. So we all know that when we finally surrender to Christ, there's a new beginning. But it isn't like, okay, we're turning over a new leaf and we're just going on from here. We're not at that time reformed. We're not rehabilitated. Or we're not re-educated. We are recreated. We are like, once again, like little babies. We're little babies again when we finally start. And we're learning for the first time. I have my little granddaughter, or their great-granddaughter, I should say. And it's been a while since we've had a baby around our home. And she's 7 months old now. But I have seen such a change in the things that she does, her communication with us. And, you know, once upon a time, you know, you have to hold her head up or else it would fall, you know. And now she can stand there and slap my head. But so there is a big difference in just a few months of this baby growing. And I think about, you know, we were talking this morning at prayer time with little Ben. You know, we've seen him grow up from the time that he was a baby, and now he runs around and, you know, he wants to preach sometimes, you know. And so here we have two examples of two babies, two little children that we've seen before our eyes and are seeing before our eyes grow into this creation that we're talking about. And it's up to us, right, to enforce, encourage those things that these guys are learning. You know, I see little Ben, he's not afraid to come up here and talk. And he even comes up with things that, one of the things that Linda mentioned a while back, and I do remember that, he just came up on his own. He mentioned about that people don't have miracles, they don't get miracles because they have fearicles. I mean, who in the world would have thought of something like that, especially from this little guy? All the fearicles keep the miracles from coming, right? And so if at that age these little guys are coming up with stuff, we have got a bright future to look up to, don't we? So teenagers, get with it. Now this, like I say, it's really up to us to teach as parents, as pastors, and just people that are in this congregation. Take your kids where they need to be. Okay, so let's go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Okay. And it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, perfect will. The world tells us that we are perfect, or the word tells us that we are perfect because he is perfect. And so now we have to get this guy, our mind, to see what the Spirit sees. Spirit sees perfection, but now we've got to get our minds to see that same thing. Up to that time, our minds have been programmed to accept as the world does. It's our learned behavior. It's just who we are. It's just what we do. But it's our choice to remain where we are or to allow him to take us places we could only imagine. A lot of us are stuck right now. A lot of us feel comfortable with where we are. We're doing well. But God doesn't want to leave us there. We need to go forward. We always say that God is new every morning. He's doing a new thing. Well, if he's doing that and we're sitting back watching everybody else join in, we need to find a way to join the crowd, right? He wants to take us to places that we've never been to before. He wants to show us his signs and wonders. He wants to take us to places that bring freedom to who we are. And it should be our desire to be in God's will. So the question is, how do we know when we are in God's will? So I'm going to go to 1 John 3:19. Okay, I'm just starting with 19. I'm going to read 19 and 20. It says, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. So remember that he's our constant companion. We're always in his presence. He sees every act we commit. He knows every thought that comes through our mind. And he still loves us unconditionally. The key word here is rest. Resting means that you're trusting. You're trusting that he has got you. He's got everything that you're doing and he's with you. So when we walk according to his will, there's a peace. There's a peace that surpasses our understanding. And when we do step out, no one needs to tell us that we've done so. I was going to mention this. Sometimes we see someone that maybe is not walking in the way that we think they should. And we feel it's up to us to get them back where they belong. And sometimes you got to know that you're stepping in God's way. That's his work. It's okay for us to be friends and to walk with people, but a lot of times God's doing a work and we're wanting to get in the way of what he's doing. So allow God sometimes to work in people. Allow God to speak to them instead of, it's always our nature, we want to fix it, right? We want to fix things. So whether it's your family or whether it's a friend, ask God, am I supposed to be speaking into this person's life? You got to get with him. It is our own conscience that begins to gnaw at the accusations. So think about this. You know, you're doing something that maybe you kind of feel may not be the right thing. And I put a few examples here on my notes. But sometimes we sit down to watch a movie and maybe it's not quite the movie we thought we were going to be watching. And you might be seeing some things in that movie that don't quite, they just don't feel right. Okay? They're just something's not right, something's not good. How about a wandering eye? Sometimes do we maybe look at the opposite sex a little bit longer than we should? You know? Sometimes you wonder if that's not something you're doing. How about going into internet sites? Checking out some of the stuff, some of the things that go on there are so far don't even pertain to what you're looking for, but they put pictures there. How in the world they want to sell some drill, but you got some girl holding it, you know? but, you know, all I'm saying is that they've got ways to capture your attention, okay? How about your response to people? How do we respond when something, somebody does something in us? I always, I don't think Pastor Henry's going to mind me saying this, but I always remember his big old story. You know, he told us about just having an incident with a tire place. And, you know, you think about those things after you're done, you know, it wasn't like he intended for this, for that incident to take place, but it happens, right? We do things. But when these things are happening, they, like, as I said earlier, when you're in the will of God, there's a peace. There is such a comfort within you that says, you're good. But when we're in this other area, there is something that's going on. We know. We know that it's not right. And yet we may continue doing what we're doing. You know, these things that I'm mentioning, they're not, you know, they're not something that's going to make you go to hell, okay? These are just things that can hinder our walk with God while we're here. He wants us to be a reflection, to be just when people see us, they got to see something different in us than everybody else, right? We have to look different than the world. So, I think I'm there. Okay. Romans 8:1 tells us that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it's not God, it's our own hearts that are telling us this. And what I just read here says that God is greater than our hearts. So he already knows our motives, and he knows our actions, but it's his voice of assurance that is greater than the voice of our conscience. Allowing him to have his way is allowing our conscience to not overwhelm the things that we do. It's not good to stay there, don't take me wrong, but his heart for where we're at is going to stand with us, and he will walk with us through this time. I'm going to go on with verse 21. And it says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that he gave us." The Spirit that is within us is what we need to rely on. The Holy Spirit is consistently cleaning the rooms of his dwelling. That's in you and me. As he does, who we become verifies his presence. So if you think you're not living up to God's expectations, we should not hide from him. Don't let your guilt overwhelm you. Don't run from him. Run to him. Focus on his righteousness and not on your failures. So I want to go to Ephesians 4:17. Starting with verse 17. It says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles, do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, and separated from the light of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. When we read this, and there's other scriptures that kind of go through the same description of the way we should live, who we should be and all. But I think when we read this, I'm glad I'm not there, but we were there once upon a time. So sometimes I'm sure that there's others in our families or friends that we have that are still there. And sometimes we look at them and we think, you know, you pray for them, you talk to them maybe, and yet they're still there. Sometimes we tend to go to a place that we just decide, okay, we're done. We count them out. And I would have to say that nobody counted us out. God was there. God was there to not leave us where we are. But so if there's someone in your surroundings that is not where they should be, don't stop praying for them. Don't give up on them, because God hasn't. And so whoever that may be, and I'm sure there's people here that have a loved one that's not quite where they should be, but he didn't leave you there and he won't leave them there. Okay, so we go on to verse 20. It says, that, however, is not the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ, and we were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful in building others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Now, there's so many of these things that came out on this particular scripture, and as I said, there's others that mention different things that we should not be carrying with us, stuff that we should get rid of. But just going by this, you know, and picking out a few of them, it mentions lying. And I know a lot of us feel that some things that we lie about are not a big deal or whatever, but sometimes that lie gets you out of trouble, right? If you just say something, then it's over, okay? You just, it gets you out of trouble, but it's for a small time frame. That thing will catch up with you. And the thing with that is that when the person you lied to realizes that you did, that trust factor is gone. It might have been the simplest thing that you lied about, but the trust factor that that person has for you has gone. And lying about one thing becomes so easy that that's just the way you do life. You can just keep on lying and lying, and it never stops. Anger, you settle the issue quickly. Unwholesome words says that the same mouth that praises God is can spew those things that are so hurtful to people. And so the word says that do not go to bed with anger in your heart. These kind of things can just brew and become a monster if you don't take care of it. Bitterness, along with unforgiveness, can be a pathway to sickness and disease, and not to mention the destruction of relationship. Bitterness and unforgiveness can brew within you. There's a scripture that talks about having a bitter root. Bitterness can form roots, and it becomes a powerful thing within our spirits. And before we know it, those things can, you know, in the long run, if that's all you're concerned with, all those things that you're worried about or you're thinking about can wind up bringing depressions or even sprout out even cancers because of those things that you're not giving to God. So get rid of them before it becomes a big problem. And I want to read verse 30 one more time. And it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." And you think about what could possibly make the Holy Spirit grieve? How could we bring him sorrow and anguish? Even that sounds kind of bad, don't it, that we could do that to the Holy Spirit. But it is by the way that we live, by our bad attitudes, by our bad actions. He wants the fruit of his Spirit expressed through us. We are his hands and feet. We are his image. So when people look at us, they should see Christ in us. So when we say something hurtful to somebody, or when we behave in ways that that we shouldn't, got to remember that regardless of who you're dealing with one of God's kids. We're all children of God, and we're all, he cares about all of us, whether you're preaching, or you're just sitting, or you're just out in the world evangelizing, or you're just a mom at home, or whatever it is, you're still his kid. So be careful how you treat people. Be careful how you speak to them. Be careful of those things that that you haven't given up. As I said earlier, it's just stuff that God wants to get rid of in our lives. And so when he brings this thing up, whatever it may be, talk to him and say, "Where do I go, Lord? What do I do with what I'm going through?" When we think that we've arrived, again, I said we need to go back to the beginning. There are things in our life that need change every day. So I got one more scripture, and this will take care of that. It says, it's just 5:1. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So, do we want to be a fragrant offering? I hope so. I hope this is your heart's desire. And so, this concludes my sermon, but we have to do something else that's very important, and that's communion. So, as we always do in this church, every first Sunday of the month, we have corporate communion. And every other Sunday, we have communion for those families that would like to go in the back. But today is corporate. So the servants are going to be passing out the elements. And when you are done with the elements, we will have someone collect them from you. But while they're passing out, I want to read a scripture. And this is out of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 11, 27 through 30. And it says, "So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment." Okay, and I just want to go ahead and stop there. So when we read this scripture, it's very easy to see how this passage can be misunderstood. It seems like he's saying, if you're in an unworthy manner, don't partake in this communion time. If you have sin in your life, don't come to the Lord's table. If you do, then you become sick, weak, and prematurely die. And in reality, we are all unworthy and made worthy only by the blood of Jesus. Paul is speaking about the manner that it was taken. And I want to read a prior scripture to this. And it says, and he was speaking to the church of Corinth. It says, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings to do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you're eating, some of you go ahead and have your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat?" Oh, thank you. "Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say? Shall I praise you? Certainly not." So the church of Corinth let it become a meaningless ritual. Communion was secondary to the excessive drinking and eating feast. So if we fail to recognize the significance of Christ's sacrifice with reverence and heartfelt gratitude, then we are partaking in an unworthy manner. Our faith in what Jesus has done for us should drive us to his supper table and not away. We can come because of his righteousness. So whatever is in your life that hinders your relationship with Jesus, take it and leave it at the foot of his cross. So what I would like us to do now is for all of us to stand, please, if you can. And before we take the elements, I hope my message speaks to you in some way, things that may be hindering our walk with God. It definitely doesn't get to a point that you are condemned. As I said, he doesn't condemn us. It's our own hearts that do. And so if anything spoke to you, before we take communion, what I'd like us to do is just take a couple of minutes and be quiet and see if there's anything that God placed in your heart that you feel that you do need to bring to the foot of the cross. And if you do, just in your own silence, just pray and give it to God. If any unforgiveness lies within you, take it to the foot of the cross. If there's an attitude change that needs to take place, take it to the foot of the cross and ask God to help you. Maybe the way we talk, maybe the things we do. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, after giving thanks, he took the bread and he broke it. And as we know that the bread is a symbol of his broken body, a body that was broken so that we could be whole. So as we take this bread, he said to do this in remembrance. Remember what he did on that cross. Take the bread. And in the same way, he took the cup. And this is a symbol of the blood that he shed on that cross. And from the crown of thorns to the nails on his feet, every drop of blood that he had in that body of his was shed for us. And today we are covered by the blood of Jesus. Please take the cup. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for those things that you have spoken to us about, Lord. We give you that place to have your way with us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you never leave us where we are, that you always take us to closer to where you are, Lord. And so we bless what you're doing with this congregation, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Praise you in Jesus' name. And if for some reason anyone would like more prayer today, something God talked to you about, there'll be some people up here that can help with that. So otherwise, you are dismissed. Say goodbye to somebody and give him a hug and love him up. And the Lord bless you and may his face shine on you.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.